Thank you so much, Jonathan. That's the name of one of my sons, Jonathan, but he does not sing like that. That was tremendous. Look, they're leaving. They're going home. I guess there's a ball game or something, and so that's a blessing. Probably the parole officer said they couldn't stay, and so delighted they're here. If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, to the book of Genesis. Genesis, we'll let some of the professors take a little time till they get to that, but we're in Genesis 27, if you will. What a joy and a privilege to be here at Temple Baptist. Last night at the banquet, I just looked around. I said, I don't think we would be able to do it this sharp. When I think of Brother and Mrs. Sexton, I think of several words. I think of sharp. They're sharp people. That's why you have a sharp church. And they're the same. All these years, same belief, same direction, same Bible, same mate. And that's good. Soul winners, the emphasis, soul winning, getting people saved here and around the world. And then sensitive to the needs of others. Here you are, even during your morning service, praying for people that are needy and sick and having needs. And what an encouragement it is. I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so I'm from the deep south. And now I'm a missionary to the state of California. We don't call it pastoring. We call it missions. And I had no idea. I thought everyone in California had pink hair, rode skateboards. They surfed. They all were dying of AIDS and had daily earthquakes. And I found out I was right. And so we love the state. We love what the Lord's done there. Wouldn't be any other place, but I miss the South. First day I was in California, I waved at someone. They pulled their car over and said, what do you want? And I said, I'm just waving. It's a Southern tradition. It's just kind of something we do here. Our first Sunday, or maybe our first month at church, used to, I would knock on doors and say, if you died today, would you go to heaven? After a while, I knocked on doors. I said, do you have a job? If they said yes, I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? I remember looking over here and I saw a guy in a suit at our church, a suit, a visitor. I said, wow, I bet he has a job and maybe has church background. You know, so rare. During handshaking, he stepped out and he had a beautiful suit coat, vest and a tie, and he was wearing shorts. I said, well, he's going to fit right into our church here in California. So here we are. We're in Genesis. Pastor said, I've only got 3 minutes to preach something about something. I don't know. But here we go. Genesis chapter 27. I'll tell the story and we'll just get right to the gist. Isaac is dying. Isaac has sons, Jacob and Esau. Notice in verse 1, Genesis 27. And it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, said unto him, my son. He said unto him, behold, I am here. Behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow. Go out into the field and take me some venison. And verse 4, make me savory meat, such as I love. Bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Kind of interesting. So when a woman dies, she asks for all the children to come around her bed. Now, Isaac is dying, and he said, son, bring me some food. To me, it's very, very like men. And then he says in verse 7, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee. And then comes in the deception. The mother had a favorite son. Rebekah loved Jacob, and Isaac loved Esau. They had favorites. Esau was an outdoorsman. He loved to hunt. He loved to fish. He liked being outside. Jacob was an indoorsman. He had an easy bake oven. He had a G.I. Joe. And he started shaving when he was about 35. So not bad, but they were just different. Kids are different. They can grow up in the same home. And so she wanted Jacob to have the blessing. Esau was the eldest. He was to get the blessing. The blessing would mean he would lead the family. Once dad died, it meant he would also be in the family tree of Jesus. What a huge thing. And he would get double the money when his dad died. Such a huge thing, the blessing. And then notice, Esau goes out to hunt. Jacob comes in, kills an animal, takes the skins, puts it on him. His dad is blind. He blesses the wrong son. He smells him. He listens. He said, you've got the voice of Jacob, but you feel like Esau. Great thought. Always go by the word, not the feeling. And so he blesses the wrong son. Then Esau comes in later and says, where's the blessing? And it says in verse 23, last phrase, so he blessed him. Verse 25 in the middle, that my soul may bless thee. Verse 27, right in the middle, and blessed him. Verse 31, that thy soul may bless me. Esau says, don't you have another blessing, Dad? Can't you give me the blessing? And he says, I've already given it to your brother. Verse 34, last phrase, bless me even also. Verse 35, last phrase, and thou hast taken away thy blessing. Last phrase of 36, my blessing. Verse 38, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also. Verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing. He wanted the blessing so bad, he resorted to deception. So what is the blessing today? Are we supposed to get around our dying father and ask him to put his hands on our head? Do we actually do that today? No. The blessing for us today is this. The applause. The acceptance. The approval. The Bible calls it the blessing. Most of us desire it from our father. If we do not get it from our father, we desire it from others. There is a question that must be answered inside of every young man and every young lady. For the young man, it's this question. Am I a man? Do I have what it takes? Inside of every young lady, this question must be answered. Am I pretty? Am I worth pursuing? And if the father does not answer these questions, the young people spend their entire life letting other people answer this question for them. I want to speak on those two words, the blessing. Father, help us now this morning. Use us and thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. If you do not get the blessing, what happens? Right now, there's someone lighting up their very first cigarette. They know that it causes cancer. They'll die younger than they would have. But there's a group of people saying, hey, go ahead, we're smoking right now. And they'll light it up because a group of people's given them approval, acceptance, applause, the blessing. There's someone tonight drinking their very first drink in Knoxville of alcohol. They know it could cost them their job. It could cost them a liver. It could cost them their marriage. It could cost them killing someone on the highway. But why are they drinking that? Because they're getting the blessing from the crowd. Someone tonight will be saying their very first cuss word. They'll be searing their conscience, saying vile words, because there's a group of people that they're around using those same words, and they want to receive the applause and the blessing and the approval. There's someone tonight that will throw away their purity and their virginity. They'll jump in the arms of someone they know does not love them. But for a few moments, they will feel accepted, approved, applauded, and feel important for a few moments. Why would they do that? Because they never got the blessing. Someone today will get their very first tattoo. By the way, young people, they stay on you forever. And that girl's name, if you don't marry her, it's on you forever. Then you have to marry someone with that same name. Okay. And so someone today is getting their first piercing. I don't know how people pierce their tongue and talk like that. They're having needles stuck in their tongues. Our neighbor had a corn cob through his ear. A corn cob. And they're pierced all over. How come? Because they want to fit in and have the blessing. I think of a young man. He joined a gang in San Jose, California. He said the initiation was this. 200 young men with bats, knives, and whips. He had to run through the line as people whipped him, punched him, stabbed him, kicked him, spit on him. If he made it through the line standing up, he was in the gang. Why would someone do something so idiotic and dangerous as that? Because they never got the blessing. It was Michael Jackson. I'm dating myself now. Many of you kids, who's that now? Well, he was before Eminem, Snickers bar, and Reese's peanut butter cups. And so here's Michael Jackson had all these surgeries. His dad made him miss out on so many things. They practiced all the time in the garage, the Jackson 5. And Michael had all these pigmentation surgeries, jaw surgeries, nose surgeries, lip surgery, all these surgeries. He said, I had all those surgeries so I would not look one thing like my father. She was in our church. She was about 9 years of age. Her and her mom and dad had split up. She lived with her mother. One day she said, Pastor, my dad's moving back home. Mom and dad's getting back together. We're going to be a family. He's going to take me to the mall and buy me dresses. He's going to take me to the park and swing me. Well, I remember the Sunday that he came back to town. She came to church. She couldn't make eye contact. She looked at the ground. The dad didn't come home for her. He came home for mom. Wasn't long before that little girl ran away from home. Wasn't long before she started receiving notes from people three times her age. Wasn't long before she had her first tattoo and she brought home her first child for her mother to raise. Then her second child, then her third child. I remember seeing her at juvenile hall. What happened? She never got the blessing. I think of a pastor. When he was 19, he surrendered to preach. His dad was an alcoholic and he had moved out. His mom and dad had divorced. Somehow he got in touch with his dad. He said, Dad, I got big news to tell you. Can I meet you on the street corner somewhere? His dad met him on a Dallas street corner. And he was going to tell him, I got called to preach. His dad thought all preachers were lazy and hypocrites. And he said, Dad, God has called me to preach. I just wanted to tell you I'm going to be a preacher. When he said that, his dad punched him in the stomach, knocked him on the ground, began cursing him, saying, I cannot believe my son's going to be a blankety-blank preacher. And he kicked him over and over. His dad walked away, and finally, he came back with one more thing to say. He said, Son, if you're going to be a preacher, why don't you build the biggest church in the world? And kicked him one more time. He went on to go into the ministry, that young man. His dad died in a drunkard's grave. He just assumed his dad died and went to hell. One day in Sunday school, Elmer Towns, the Sunday school expert, came to that preacher's church and presented him with a plaque, presented to the pastor of the world's largest Sunday school. In between Sunday school and church, that preacher took that plaque, ran back to his office, put that plaque on the ground, looked down as if looking to hell, and said, Hey, Dad! I did it! Hey, Daddy! I did it! Inside of that 40-year-old pastor was still a little boy that craved the blessing from his dad. I want to say this, if that's you and you feel like I never got the blessing from my mom or dad, I never got the blessing and I've always felt rejected. Jesus knows how you feel. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The word reject comes from the word that means thrown back. If you have ever fished and caught a little fish, and maybe you did what I've done, you said, hey, go back and get your grandpa. And you threw it back. It is reject. I don't want you. And you threw it back in the water. Now you know how that little fish feels. And many people around the world feel that rejection. When you don't get the blessing, you hate those that do. When you don't get the blessing, you're possessive of friendships. You get insecure, easily offended, depressed, feel rejection, and oftentimes become bitter. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God and the root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You ever known a bitter person? It wrecks their whole life. And I want to say this. You know, there's three great commands. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then it says, and love your neighbor, how much? As yourself. When you don't receive the blessing, it's hard to even like who you are. And soon you question the love of God. You question others. You can't trust Him. You can't trust them. And that's a pretty miserable life. We had a neighbor years ago named Mr. Markson. Anytime we kicked the football and it ended up in his yard, he was so mean he would pick it up and keep it. That's a mean old man. You know, I bet he wasn't always a mean old man. I bet he was a sweet little boy at one time. Someone or something hurt him. You remember the maniac of Gadara? The guy who was naked and cut himself and full of thousands of demons. He met Jesus on the dock and he said, are you here to torment me too? I don't think the maniac of Gadara had always been a maniac. He was probably a real sweet kid at some time. And something hurt him and bitterness took over his life. When I was a kid, rock music came out. There's R&B, there was country music. Then, in many of your lifetimes, something came out called rap music, R-A-P. And I'm using that word music very lightly when I say that. Rap music. You know what it is? It's the music of hurting boys. It's boys who their daddy ran off with someone else, or they never knew who their father was, and they felt rejected, and there's anger inside of them, and that's the music of their day. Years ago, I always tell this when my wife is here. Years ago, I got up in the middle of the night, heard a noise, went to make sure the family was safe. I went to the refrigerator to make sure it was still there. And it was there. Opened it, light bulb still working, we're good. I'm not going to be real personal, but I sleep barefooted. And so I'm headed back to the bed, and my foot hit something like it's never hit before. I didn't stump my toe. I didn't hit the couch. Something sharp went into my toe. I turned on the light. I hope I'm not exaggerating. Gallons of blood started coming out of my toe. The left ventricle, right ventricle, pulmonary veins, the arteries, just shooting blood out from my toe. I looked down and It was a needle broken off in my toe, and I pull it out. I'm screaming. It's about 3 a.m, so with all the fruit of the Spirit I had, I turned on the bedroom light in our bedroom, and I hollered my wife's name, Verna! She sat up in bed. She said, what? And I held that needle in my hand. This is what? I said, I don't sew, I don't knit, and I don't carelessly leave needles on the ground and they go inside of my mate's foot. And it's broken off and it hurts. She said, I'm sorry, can you turn the light off now? Oh. I took that needle, Brother Sexton, and I put it on the dresser. And as I limped for years, well, maybe I'm exaggerating, but as I limped in the room, I would limp in front of her and just pick up that needle. You say, well, that's silly. You should have got counsel from the pastor. I was the pastor. You say, that's kind of stupid for a Christian. Why are you still saving your needle? Who was it that hurt you years ago that you can't get away from? You wake up, you think about them. You talk about them. You're like a scratch record. And now your whole life is wrapped around one hurt. It's time to move on from that. Not getting the blessing will cause bitterness that will wreck all your relationships. You say, well, what's the answer for bitterness, Pastor? Here it is, just quickly. Forgiveness. Someone said, well, just forgive and forget. Well, number one, I don't want to forgive. And number two, I can't forget. It's something God has to help you with. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever hit the wrong nail with a hammer? You know what I'm talking about? You go, wah! Did you throw the hammer in the garbage? Dumb hammer. I knew this wasn't a good one. So here it is. Here's you. Here's Satan. Here's that person that hurt you. Wow! He didn't care who he used. He just knew if he could hurt you young enough, long enough, he could get you bitter. He may get you so bitter you wouldn't trust Jesus as your Savior and you'd go to hell, or you'd drop out of church, lead your whole family out of church, and they would all go to hell one day. So what do you do? What is forgiveness? If I forgive that person, then they're off the hook. No, no, no. You're off the hook. Forgiveness is deciding to live with the pain someone else has inflicted on you. Amen. So my dad was not home much when I grew up. He'd be home a couple of days, gone a week, home a week, gone a month, home a day, gone 3 months. We didn't do vacations, we didn't fish, we didn't hunt, we didn't do things like that. He was chasing money. Money was more important than his two sons. One day, we turned on the news. He was on nationwide news on television, handcuffed. It's a long story. It's in a book. But God started working after my daddy got saved. He started working on mending that relationship. I was in Bible college. I remember I heard a message on forgiveness. Back then, we didn't have cell phones. I didn't feel comfortable just sitting down talking to him. So I wrote him a letter, "Dear Dad." And when I wrote those two words, tears just began flowing all over the paper. And I said, "It's all okay. I forgive you for everything." That's all I knew how to do. I mailed the letter. I came home for Christmas break. My dad said, "Son, can you type this for me?" I said, "Sure, Dad." He was doing the best he knew how. By the way, my dad never went to Dad University. He never went to a married couple's getaway. They didn't even have them back then. He did the best he knew how, which was not very good. I'm typing this letter. It says, "Dear God." I'm wondering, how am I going to mail this? "Dear God, please forgive me for blowing it with my kids." Now I'm crying again. "I must have been demon-possessed. Please give me another chance." I did my daddy's funeral 6 years ago. When he passed, we were like this. God can do that. God is big at that. You say, "Well, what does God know about pain?" You need to rethink that one. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He knows all about pain. He knows all about rejection. He knows all about not being blessed. He knows all about being thrown under the bus. He knows that and feels that. And that's why you need the Lord. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot live. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." There's no life. There's just existence if you don't have Christ. You say, "Well, Pastor, here's the 2 points. What do you do if you never got the blessing? What do you do?" 2 thoughts. One, get the blessing from God. David says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Jeremiah said, quoting God, "Before I formed thee in thy mother's belly and before you came out of the womb, I knew thee. And I anointed thee as a prophet unto the nations." God has designed you. You're shaped for significance. You're not an accident. He gave His Son to die for you. He is building you a mansion. He's got a brand new body for you. You're adopted into His family. You're redeemed. You're born again. Wow, what a God. I love that song. He loves me like I was his only child. If God had a jersey, football jersey to wear, it would have your name on it. Excuse me. The Bible said that when Jesus got baptized, there was a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus got the blessing from God. My friend, Brother Rule, pastors a very large church, or has pastored 35 years in Chico, California. His mother was married 3 times. His dad was married 4 times. His stepdad murdered his mother and then committed suicide. Tim was put into foster care at age 7, grew up to be a very angry boy, got saved at age 15, now has started a teen camp and pastored for 3 decades. How come? He got the blessing from God. What do you mean, Pastor? You spend time in this book, and you spend time talking to the Lord, and something happens, you get covered with God's blessing. Not blessings, plural, but His blessing. He gives you God esteem. He makes you have self-worth. How come? Because you know how special you are to Him. My friend Mike Johnson, his mother, a divorce from his dad who ran off with someone, and all the stepdads began to drink and beat the kids. He was beaten as a kid. Said he used to sleep with a baseball bat at night. Mike Johnson got saved. Mike Johnson has pastored 4 decades now in California. How come? He learned to spend time with God and get the blessing from God. If you do not know Christ as Savior, that's where it all starts. If you're ever going to feel good about yourself and hold your head up high and not have to follow the crowd and not get your esteem from how many likes you have on Facebook or how many this or how many followers you have. Hey, social media doesn't add value to you. God adds value to you. It's this book here. You're a child of God. That's where you have to get it. Get the blessing from God. Number 2, give the blessing from God. They brought the children to Jesus. He blessed them. Give the blessing to your children. Every child in every home in this church ought to hear this a lot. Good job. Hey, you're the man. Ooh, how beautiful you look. Wow. Hey, wonderful. How? You're awesome. Man, I'm so proud of you. God's going to use you. They ought to hear that thousands and thousands of times before they head out. Because they're not going to hear it at public work. They're not going to hear it at a state university. They're not going to hear it out there. They ought to hear it. Give it to the bus kids. Every bus kid ought to feel important when they walk into this place. Give it to a friend. Wives, give it to your husband. Husband, give it to your wife. Give the blessing. 2 stories. I must hasten. Years ago, when I worked with the teenagers in Louisiana, we did a scavenger hunt. And I know, years ago, a scavenger hunt was find a penny, find a leaf, find a string, get some water. Well, we had to put it on steroids. So it was like, get a stranger to let you drink a cup of water out of their toilet. Number two, fly a kite. Number 3, get a priest to confess to you. Number 4, propose to a stranger in a restaurant. Number 5, and on and on. Well, they had to capture a live cockroach. And we had a kid that rode our bus. His name was Kenneth. Kenneth was that kid that you didn't have to say, is Kenneth at church? You could sense it. There was either spilled blood on the ground or some kid with a bloody nose or something broken or something stolen. Kenneth is here. If you've ever heard of evolution, the missing link, the Neanderthal man, we think Kenneth was him. He was about a 6th grade kid and just never brushed his teeth, same clothes every Sunday, oily hair, smelled. Rode the bus every Sunday. Well, he finally made the teen group and got to come to the teen activity. I'm delegating, Mr. Delegator, you go with them. Okay, here's the driver. Because I didn't want to drive the teens. Well, about 4 of them didn't have a driver, so I'm with them. Kenneth looks at me and says, I get to go with Brother Mike. I'm saying wonderful. We get in my car. They're flipping through the 3 pages of 200 things they got to find for the scavenger hunt. Kenneth reads. He goes, look, a live cockroach. I know where there's a live cockroach. My house. He's so excited he could contribute. We pull up to his house. He jumps out of the car. We're running in his house. He kicks the door open. He says, there's one. There's one. There's some flying ones. There's baby ones. There's big ones. The house was infested. I looked. I saw dishes about this thick. I saw diapers all over the floor. I saw a little sister in the crib, not a parent to be seen. Parents scattered on drugs. House was filthy and infested. Kenneth did not know enough to even be ashamed. My heart just sunk. I'd never been in his house, Pastor. He's got that live cockroach. Let's go! He's so excited. Well, it wasn't long because of the fragmentation of his home. He didn't keep coming to church. Years passed. I'm at the door of our teen building and in walks a visitor. We don't get visitors that look like you guys. Tattoos are mandatory. Okay, anyway, but you get that later. I'll tell you more tonight. So this kid shows up in a suit and a Bible. I said, good to have you. Where are you visiting from? He said, I've been here before. He said, you know me. I said, no, I don't know you. I'm sorry. He said, I'm Kenneth. And he looked at me. I said, Kenneth, what happened? He said, I got a new bus captain. He said, Miss Tanya loves me. He said, she bought me this suit. She taught me how to tie a tie. She bought me my first shampoo. She bought me my first toothbrush and toothpaste. Says I have to brush my teeth every day. She taught me how to wash my hair. She taught me how to comb my hair. She said, I'm something special, Brother Mike. God's going to use me. That's what she said. Do you think God's going to use me? I said, Kenneth, I can't even believe it's you. A princess reached down and kissed an old, ugly toad frog and transformed that boy into a prince. She gave him the blessing. It changes lives. That's all anybody needs is someone to believe in them and say, you the man, God's going to use you. You failed, you messed up, get up, you're not done, God's going to use you. That's all they need. That's what soul winning gets people into church. Giving the blessing keeps them into the church. Give the blessing from God. We were at camp years ago. We brought 99 teenagers to camp. But we didn't win any competition. We lost volleyball. We lost softball. We lost the swimming contest. Every competition, there were bigger churches. So it came the last night. It's Thursday night, and they dreamed up a contest hoping we could win something. So they said, tonight we're having a sit-up contest. Sit-up contest at camp. I need a boy from every church. I gathered our youth group together. I said, all right, who's done the most sit-ups? And a little sawed-off 4'6" boy, 10th grade, Columbus, me yet. He said, I did 25 one time, Brother Mike, 25. I said, you're the man, Columbus. You're the man. So we got Columbus up there, and someone held his feet, and they said, go! Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. And about that time, a little crowd gathers and go, Columbus, go. Go, Columbus, go. And the junior high girls start their cheers. Go, Columbus, go. C-O-L-U-M. Don't name your your kid Columbus. C-O-L. And they're spelling his name. And now he's up to 100. He's up to 200 sit-ups. About that time, girls are fanning him with ostrich feathers. I've always loved you, Columbus. I'll marry you if you win. They're dropping grapes in his mouth. They're fanning him. 400 sit-ups. 500 sit-ups. The whole camp has stopped. Horseback riding, swimming, everything has stopped. Just a crowd of people around going, come on, you can do it, go! They're screaming and screaming. 600 sit-ups.
700 setups. Everyone dropped out but one other guy. 800 setups. 900 setups. When are you stopping, Columbus? He said, when the other guy stopped. 1,000 setups. The other guy, 1,200 setups. The other guy stopped. And Columbus said, I've got cramps. I can't stop. It's just up, down, up, down, up, down. And finally, he did 6 more and stopped. 1,206 setups. The next morning, he was not able to leave his seat and come and get the ribbon. He set a camp record. No one's ever broken that record. I said, Columbus, how were you able to do 1,206 sit-ups? You never did but 25 in your whole life. He said, y'all were cheering for me. Y'all were cheering for me. It just takes enough people cheering for a teenager for them to make it. Just takes so many people to cheer for a single mom and she can make it. Just takes so many people cheering for a new convert. They can make it. The blessing.
Amen.
I was at Bible college riding with one of the professors in his car. And he said, so why are you here? I said, that's a strange question. I'm here to learn the ministry. He said, no, no, no. Who is the reason you're here? I said, my pastor, Bob Smith. Well, my dad was in prison. When Father's Day came around, I gave Father's Day cards to my pastor because my dad was never there. I graduated number one in my senior class, public school, 429 students. I was number one, the valedictorian. My dad had no time to come to my graduation. But when I came to church, my pastor, Brother Smith, man, you look sharp, Mike. Nice tie. Whoa. Hey, I heard you won a soul this week. God's going to use you. Hey, I heard you preached and someone got saved. Oh, God's got big plans for you. He believed in me. He gave me the blessing. I'm finished. There was a math teacher, eighth grade math teacher in a parochial school. She had kind of lost control of her class. They were nitpicking, criticizing. It was just out of control. She got an idea, and one day she typed up a list of every student's name in the class and put it on every desk. She said, students, no talking. I've listed every name in the class. I want you to write down something you admire about each student. No talking. Just write anything you admire or a strength you think they have. And then we'll fold them and turn them in. People did. They folded them, gave them to her. She compiled the list. The next day, as every student sat down, she just had their name on top of the list and every positive thing the other students said about them. She said, no talking. I'll put your list on your desk. She could hear people say, wow, they noticed. I didn't know they felt this way. The entire spirit of the class changed for the better. Those kids graduated out of her class, eventually graduated from high school. It was during the Vietnam War. One of the students in her class was killed in combat, who had been in her eighth grade class. They shipped the body home to that town. At the end of the funeral, the parents were standing by the casket. People were walking by, paying their respects. And about that time, a lady walked by the casket and the parents said, we bet you were our son's eighth grade math teacher. She said, I was. How did you know? And they said, we knew you would be here. And then they handed her a piece of paper that had been folded, unfolded, folded, unfolded hundreds of times. And they said, you recognize this? She unfolded it. It was the boy in the casket's list. They said, you will never know what this one sheet of paper meant to him. He had it on him when he was killed in Vietnam. About that time, a young couple walked by the casket and they said, we have ours too. We were in that class. We're married now and ours is in our wedding album. Another young man walked by and said, I've still got mine. I was in that class. I own my own business now and it's framed. It's on the wall of my office. A teacher had given the blessing and changed an entire class. You say, Pastor Ray, does it really matter? Is it really that big a deal? Well, you tell me. Jacob got the blessing. God changed his name to Israel, a prince of God. Esau never got the blessing. He married a heathen woman and fathered a heathen race. All because of the blessing. Did you ever get it? If not, have you gotten it from him? Have you learned to give it to others? That's the Christian life. You get it from him, and then you give it to others. If you're without Jesus Christ, I just want to tell you, the reason you're having trouble following all the fads and following, and you're up or down because of what people say about you or what they post or likes or social media, how popular you say, your whole life is a mess. You start by receiving Jesus as your Savior.